Black Diamond Broadcasting, welcome to another edition of ABC, Always Building Sheboygan, put together by the Sheboygan County Community Foundation. We'll take a look during our series at different nonprofits and the economic development going on throughout Sheboygan County. Today's guest is Jim Conboy. Jim has been involved with the foundation, former board member. I understand he's still on the grants committee. Semi-retired in the Sheboygan area, right, Jim?
Correct, semi.
I know you've been involved with a lot of the efforts regarding the trails in the area and some civic organizations, and a longtime member at Citizens National Bank, where you involved there, and also a lawyer. You got a great background for what we're going to talk about today.
Thanks, Mike.
We're going to focus on the role of board members for nonprofits. Everybody gets involved in something they're passionate about, and maybe they have some parts of their resume that can help the organization, but it's important to make sure everything's running on the up and up. So, Jim, why don't you touch on a few of those important things that board members need to know when they are on a nonprofit board?
Thank you, Mike. As you pointed out, I have been a board member of the foundation, been a board member of a number of groups from very large, like the board at Alma College and the Michigan Bankers Association, right down to smaller boards that don't have executive directors or other full-time staff. But they all share basic obligations that I think are important for people to understand, both before they decide to get on a board, whether it's a local scout group board, whether it's a chamber board, any other type of board, large or small. They all have these obligations that I think you really want to consider before you get on, and once you're on a board, to pay attention to them.
I was just going to say, we call it a nonprofit, but there's finances involved.
Absolutely. Nonprofit simply means that there is no shareholders typically in a nonprofit corporation. The idea is to go, usually has a mission. All of them have missions, and it's really to do good for your community, whether that community is defined by a small section like a band club or a very large statewide organization or even national. But the rules are very similar between nonprofit and for-profit corporations. First of all, the purpose of the board, and this is something everybody ought to remember, is that a board functions as a board. Any individual board member does not really have any authority over the organization as an individual, but only as a member of the board, with perhaps the exception of the chairman of the board, who usually, if there is no executive director, can act in that capacity. But you really act as a board, and that's important to know. The purpose of a board, of course, is to carry out the mission of the organization. And where do you find the mission? You usually find the mission pretty well defined in articles of incorporation, which are filed with the state, and they're amplified in the bylaws, and then policy statements that the organization may have developed. In Michigan, a nonprofit board has to have at least three directors, and typically they would have more. And then they have, as I mentioned, articles which are filed with the state, and bylaws which are usually much more lengthy, and they're not filed with the state, but that is something that you want to ask for if you're looking at joining a board. You want to take a look at the articles, which you can get on the state's website, and then ask for a copy of the bylaws so you know what you're getting into and what rules you have to operate under. As far as the duties of directors, there's a number of broad defined duties, including the duty of obedience, which means that you're obligation is to carry out the mission of the corporation, and also to make sure you're in compliance with the laws that impact the organization you're joining. And again, those are defined by state law and in some cases federal law. Nonprofit corporation is a state creature. If you're looking for a tax exempt status, that's separate. Typically, you'd be a 501c3. And that's a status you'd be given by the IRS so that you can take donations and the donor can take them as a tax write-off. That is a pretty stiff requirements to get that designation. But again, that's separate and apart from the state nonprofit, which isn't terribly hard to create. duty of care. That means that you attend meetings. And I want to emphasize that because I've been involved with a number of nonprofits where people join, I think, almost because they feel it's a civic duty and maybe it's a they feel it's an honor they should do, but they are pretty lax in attending meetings. And if you can't attend meetings on a regular basis to know what's going on in the organization, I would really discourage you from joining that organization. And if you're a member of a board and you find your obligations take you away from being able to attend meetings, the right thing to do if it's going on for any length of time is to step off. You may be asked to step off, but people don't like to do that. The board doesn't usually like to ask a member to step off, and you should do that yourself. As far as I'm concerned, it's important because if you don't attend a meetings on a regular basis, you don't know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on and something happens, you can still be held responsible as a board member for some type of action that is counter to state or federal law. So that's the duty of obedience, duty of care, and then there's the duty of loyalty. And part of that is confidentiality. You should not be talking about what takes place at board meetings, particularly in sensitive areas. And that's something that you really have to observe. Confidentiality, what's going on, is extremely important. And the other thing, part as far as duty of loyalty, is conflicts of interest. Many nonprofits, and I think it's a good thing to do, have a conflict of interest policy. And you wouldn't think maybe with a nonprofit that this could be an issue, but you may have somebody on the board who's got particular skills, but they are paid for the work they do. And that can be fine. You can pay a board member, but it should be disclosed to the rest of the board, and the particulars of the contract or arrangement should be disclosed to the rest of the board. And it may even be a better step is to go out and get other bids from like organizations or individuals with those skills. So you may have even an attorney on the board. You might have a CPA on the board, although that can be tricky. Most CPAs won't serve on a board where they're doing the accounting or auditing work. And attorneys occasionally will, but you should make sure that the rest of the board knows what the arrangement is, and that's recorded in the minutes. And the conflict policy will give you guidance. Those are the broad duties that you have as a director. And as far as conflicts go, that's something to be very careful of. There are defenses in the state of Michigan as far as directors where problems develop. And those can be unique to nonprofits. And one of them is the volunteer director. If you are not compensated, you're not paid for attendance in meetings or for any role as a director, there is a statute that says if something happens but the board acted in good faith, there is a defense if an action is brought against the board for abuse of any fiduciary duties. But that's not something you really want to rely on. What you want to rely on is to avoid those circumstances where problems develop and you're accused of negligence in terms of serving on a board. And that can arise. We see on a pretty regular basis in the news people who are being charged with crimes for taking money, embezzling, if you will, funds from organizations, be it some kind of club that has funds. The individual may even be the treasurer of the organization or have other access to funds. And in those cases, people can actually end up being charged, felony or misdemeanor, depending on the amount of money that's involved. And those usually come about because there's not good oversight from the board, be that as a board member who might be a treasurer, or if you have a staff person who appropriates money. And that's usually because there isn't good accounting records kept. And so that's a must, as far as I'm concerned, no matter the size of the board you're on, is to have somebody who's reputable. Hopefully it's an outside person like a CPA or a qualified accountant that is giving you financial statements, that's reviewing your checking account, maybe investment accounts, and making regular, at least quarterly reports to the board. Now, some people will think, oh, that's overkill, we can't afford it. You may find an accountant or a CPA who will cut their rates for nonprofits, and it's well worth paying. There's nothing worse than finding out that for several years or maybe less time that somebody has been misappropriating funds, and it does happen. We see that on the news, and for every news story, there's probably 10 that don't get reported. What are the motivations people have for that? Well, like any other acts of a criminal nature, there's all kinds of excuses. I needed the money. I was going to pay it back. I've worked hard for the organization. I deserve money. And it really, and the person who's charged with either a civil matter or even worse, a crime as a result of that, is really going to tarnish their reputation in the organization for years to come. If you're trying to raise funds and you have had theft, it's very difficult. Your reputation as an organization is really going to suffer. So you're much better off. The wise thing to do to protect yourself and the organization is to make sure that you've got good bookkeeping, good accounting records. How are checks handled? Do you require two signatures? A lot of things that can be in place. A bank or credit union where you have the organization's accounts can help you set up some safeguards. Your outside advisors can help you do that. The last thing you want to depend upon is the old saying, well, she or he would never do that. You'd be amazed at the really fine people that somehow get into trouble and end up stealing from organizations, and you want to avoid that at all cost. Your reputation, the organization's reputation, all suffer. These are things that you just can't permit to happen. You've got to have controls in the organization.
You're listening to another edition of ABC. It's Always Building Sheboygan, a series of features sponsored by the Sheboygan County Community Foundation. We're talking with Jim Convoy about the role of board members on nonprofits, and it's an important role and a lot to think about before you join.
Yeah, then as we're talking about, and I guess I want to emphasize this, Mike, because it can kill an organization if there's wrongdoing, is if you suspect that, if it comes about and you have any suspicions, of course, a board meeting should occur. The wrongdoer should not be in the room, the suspected wrongdoer, and at that point discuss what evidence there is of perhaps wrongdoing, and then decide a course of action, which should early on involve having an audit done of your finances, involve counsel, and again, I understand that can be expensive, but it's expensive to do nothing or to go down the wrong path. And the other thing is, oftentimes in these situations, somebody will be forthcoming. They'll admit the wrongdoing. They'll apologize, and the natural inclination of a lot of people is to say, "Well, we got the money back. Let's just let this go." But I've been involved in more than one situation over the years where that person gets tempted again and repeats, and that can be in a for-profit or a nonprofit corporation. And your best bet in many cases is to terminate the relationship, either ask somebody to step off a board, or usually your bylaws will provide a method by which you can terminate them from the board if they won't voluntarily step off. You may be also, you should consult with counsel. You may have an obligation to report that to the authorities. The other thing I should mention, too, is that directors and officers' liability insurance. When you decide to get on a board or while you're on the board, ask if there's D&O insurance. If there isn't, you might want to obtain that and get a quote from an insurance agent, have the agent come to a meeting and explain exactly what the coverage is. It can be extremely important if there's a loss. You can rely on that insurance and be paid. Is there a way to get a bond for the person handling the finances of the organization? The other thing is, as a director, you want to take a look at those articles and bylaws. Are there indemnification provisions so that if the organization is sued and the board and the individuals on the board are sued, is there provision in the bylaws or articles that would permit the corporation or require the corporation, the nonprofit, to indemnify you for any out-of-pocket expenses? The last thing you want to do is get on a board with the idea that you're going to serve your community, whether, again, it's statewide or local, and be sued and then find out that you're going to have to reach into your own pocket for defense costs, and it can happen. It doesn't take much to start a lawsuit, and you don't want to be on the wrong end of a lawsuit and have to go through protracted litigation. But indemnification provisions can require the corporation, if you acted in good faith, to reimburse you. And D&O can cover the corporation, which may not have much in assets. So those are really important things to consider. And on a regular basis, check and make sure the status of your corporation is healthy. Go into the websites the state has to check that annual reports have been filed, the articles are up to date. That's all on the state Secretary of State's website. 501c3 status reports are on the IRS website.
Right. Jim, appreciate all that information. I know it's an important role, and people want to do the right thing and be involved, but there's a lot to know before you dive into all that.
Yeah, I think the thing to leave everybody with is what I think President Reagan said, trust but verify.
All right. Jim Conboy and the Sheboygan County Community Foundation. It's another edition of Always Building Sheboygan. We call it ABC. From Black Diamond Broadcasting, I'm Mike Grisdale.